to have faith in spite of everything. Maybe you're having some turmoil in your family. Maybe there's some marital problems. Maybe there's problems with some of your children. And I guarantee if you have children, you have problems with your children. And that's part of growth, and that's part of learning, that's part of teaching and training, and we are supposed to teach and train our children. Sometimes it can be a very difficult job. Maybe you're having some problems with a brother or sister. Maybe you're having some problems with a brother or sister in Christ, somebody that you never thought you'd ever have problems with, and all of a sudden there's some kind of a problem, or there's some kind of argument, there's some kind of a disagreement, there's some kind of frustration or some struggle that you're dealing with. Whatever the situation may be, the Bible commands us to have faith. And so we've entitled this Faith No Matter What. You know already that this ginormous, this gigantic idol is put up in the plain of Dura, and it is there for people to come to worship and to bow down. And of course, we are told several times in this chapter that any time that the instruments begin to play, they are all to bow down to this great idol that Nebuchadnezzar put up. And so everyone's to bow down. No one's exempt from it. Everyone is commanded to bow down. Yet we know there are three Hebrew children who do not bow. And of course, probably the big question is where's Daniel at this time? Daniel was probably busy taking care of all the business that needed to be taken care of, and he wasn't there. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, and they were commanded to bow, and they were commanded to kneel. And of course, there's some things that happen that you may be able to apply some of these things to your own life and say, hey, that's happened to me in my life. In fact, that just happened this week, or that's happened recently to me. And you're going to see some things that happen to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And maybe it's some things that can make your brain just kind of churn a little bit and your heart to think about what's going on in your life and how some of these very same style or type of things may be coming up. Of course, we live in a world today, and we live in a country today who, unfortunately, we're still one nation under God, but that's not the unfortunate part. The unfortunate part is we don't seem to act much like we're one nation under God. It seems like, yeah, we're here, and yeah, there's people who claim that they believe in God and all those kind of things, and there are still some good churches around and all those type of things, but it seems like for the majority, at least what we're being told, the majority doesn't want to do it God's way because they have some other idol, if you will, that they worship, whatever that idol is. Unfortunately, I'm one of the biggest fans of sports. I love sports. However, I believe sports is an idol. I believe it's a big idol, and I believe there's a lot of people in this world today that are bowing down to the idol of sports. There's a lot of people bowing down to the idol of finances, of money, and doing whatever they can, whether they have to rob somebody or what they'd have to do to bow down. They may not be on their hands and knees, but they still are bowing down to something else that they worship. They may worship, in fact, may even worship themselves or worship their families or those type of things. We need to be very careful that God is the center and the focus of our attention and our attraction and of our worship. He is worthy of our worship, and we need to worship Him. And those are just a few little thoughts about things that people worship today. There are many other things that people worship. They may worship their car. They may worship their house. They may worship their job, or they may worship somebody that they work for in their life, whatever it may be. There are different idols that people choose and begin to worship. And so the children of Israel are commanded to bow down to this great image of gold, this statue. By the way, it was great. There's nothing wrong with saying it was great. It had to be an amazing thing to look at to see, wow, look at what was built. Look at what was made out of gold. I mean, we're talking about solid gold, not something that was just a gold plated, not something that was sprayed with some spray cans. This is solid gold, folks. And I'm telling you, it was an amazing sight, but it was not something to be worshipped for the children of Israel, because the children of Israel were commanded in Exodus chapter 20 to have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down before any other gods. Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're reminded once again as we see second law. The second law is repeated to us and repeated to the children of Israel, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not to bow down to them. You're not to worship them. Not to give yourself. You're not to Let your children be passed through the fire as they would do in sacrifice or in worship of these false gods. And the children of Israel, even though they have been promoted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been promoted to be leaders, they had not forgotten where they came from. They had not forgotten their faith in the God who provided for them and delivered them. And they believe, I believe in my heart and my life, I believe they believe God will deliver them again. In fact, they believe God will deliver them here in a little bit from a great fiery furnace. So I believe in all with all my heart, they also believe that God will deliver them out of the bondage and out of the slavery that their people are in. Faith, no matter what. I know it's easy. We sing a song, God, the God of the mountain. Life is easy and faith is easy when we're up on the mountain. But it's when we're down in the valley of sin and struggles and problems where our faith wavers and wanes. And sometimes our faith is weak. When we're down in the valley, sometimes we cannot see. The Bible says, lift up thine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh thy help. And we sometimes can't see above the circumstances. We cannot see above those things because our faith is not as strong as it ought to be. The children of Israel are commanded in verse 8. It says, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. They say, king, you've commanded these things. By the way, those are some beautiful instruments. They're wonderful instruments. And in of themselves, those are not bad instruments. There's nothing wrong with them. But it's what they're played for and how they're played that is the problem. And they're played so that these instruments are played so that the children of this kingdom of Babylon would bow down. And notice, this was the command. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Hey, king, you made the decree. You said that, hey, you put up this golden idol, and you said that, hey, if the music begins to play, then everybody is commanded to bow, and if they don't bow, they are to be thrown into the midst of a fiery furnace. You didn't make any excuses. You didn't make any ways for people to get in and out of this. You said anybody, everybody was supposed to bow. And so these men of the kingdom come and speak to the king and repeat basically what he said to them, that they were to be thrown into a fiery furnace if they did not obey. Verse 12 says, there are certain Jews, imagine this, Jews being the subject of their pressure towards the king. I mean, we can go through story after story after story. I mean, we could go to Haman, right? And Esther, and see how they were pressuring the Jews. Haman was pressuring to have the Jews destroyed because he hated Mordecai. This happens time and time again in the Old Testament, and it's still happening today. Let's blame the Jews for all of our problems. In the Middle East, that's what the problem is. It's not the problem that they don't serve the right God. It's the problem that it's the Jews. They're causing all the problems in the Middle East. We find that there are those who come and accuse, and it seems like today in America, it is not the liberals that are causing the problem. It is not others that are causing the problem. It is the president. It is conservative values. It is the Christians who are causing the issues. That's what the excuse is. Hey, it's these Christians that are holding back good laws and good legislature, and it's the Christians that aren't doing what they're commanded to do by the government. Here they come and they say, there's certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. I have a sneaky suspicion that not only is this based upon the fact that they're not bowing, but more importantly, it's based upon the fact that they have been put in charge of things And there are those who are jealous. And when people get jealous, what do? They find every excuse, everything they can find to cause blame. What did they do with Jesus? They tried to find something to cause blame to Jesus and on him. And Pilate said, I find no fault in him. You know why he found no fault in him? Because there was no fault in him. But here comes a group of people who say, there are Jews who you put in charge. It's amazing how we go to leadership and we say, you did this. You put this guy in charge. Thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, to name names now, Meshach and Abednego. These men, O king, in verse 11, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Guess what, king? There are three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're Jews, by the way. I want to make sure you know that. They're Jews, and they don't worship your gods. And when you have called for people to bow and to worship, they won't bow. So what do we do? What do they do? When they've been accused of something that, by the way, they were guilty of. They didn't do what the king commanded. But they did and were going to do what the King of Kings commanded and Lord of Lords. They did what God commanded them to do and say, we are not going to bow down. Hey, we can serve, by the way. We can serve in the world. We can work in the world. There's nothing wrong with having a secular job. You can go work in the world, but you don't have to act like the world and live like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world. You don't have to be of the world to work in the world. And here these men, they say this law is not something we're going to abide by. We're to have faith no matter what, number one, the people say. We're to have faith no matter what people say. You see, the people are saying, hey, they're not listening to you, O king. They're disrespecting you, O king. They're disrespecting your God. They're disrespecting your commands. They don't care about you. But you know what? We're supposed to have faith no matter what people say. Even if it is true about us. It may be true about us. Hey, they didn't follow the command of the law. They didn't do what the law said to do. We did what God told us to do. And we are told that from Peter and the disciples. We ought to obey God rather than man. Hey, if that command usurps God's command, then we're going to follow what God says no matter what the people say. Well, I better bow down because I can imagine today's Christian. We better bow down because they may go and tell the king that not only are we Jews, but we didn't bow and we don't follow their gods. So we better just go ahead and bow. We'll just smooth things over. We'll just make it. We don't really have to be really honoring this God. We don't serve this God. We know this, but we probably better bow anyways. I think that's what 20th century Christianity would probably do. Just bow, make everybody happy, it'll be okay, and then you go on serving your God. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had faith no matter what the people were going to say. I don't believe that they sit back and worried and said, well, people might say something about us if we don't bow. They may go tell the king if the king's not here and he doesn't see it and he doesn't know. And No. We're to have faith no matter what people say. Well, you Christians, you just believe in some of the weirdest, strangest stuff. Yeah, we're supposed to have faith no matter. You actually believe God can do that? You actually believe God can save a sinner? You actually believe God can take somebody to heaven? Of course I do. We believe God and we have faith no matter what the world believes, no matter what the world says, no matter what the world does. We're to have faith no matter what people say. I want you to notice number two. We're to have faith no matter what powers do. And by powers, I mean leadership. You know what? If in a year or two years, whatever it is, when we elect a new president, hopefully it's the same president, but I mean, I shouldn't make that disclaimer. But anyways, if we elect a new president, a different president than the one we have, and this new president says, all right, Christians, you can't go to church, you can't pray, you can't read your Bible. That's what the power says. The power in the world. Well, the president said, the government said, the leaders say. Not only what people say, but what the powers do. Here's what leadership does. Here's what America does. America says, no more praying, no more church services, no more in the name of Christ, no more speaking out against homosexuality, no more speaking out against abortion, no more speaking out against drugs and alcohol and sin, immorality, no more speaking out against that. The powers from above that be, if you will, the powers that are over us, that lead us in this country, say, no more. You're done. What are we to do? We're to have faith no matter what the people say. We're to have faith no matter what the power says. I want you to see what the power does say in this portion of Scripture. The power says this in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage, I'm telling you, this isn't just anger. This is rage. This, I can imagine Nebuchadnezzar hearing about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, knowing that he put them in charge of some things. And man, what did I do? I can imagine him picking up things and throwing things. And I can imagine him cursing. And I can imagine him spitting and snorting and hollering and stomping and something like what maybe some of you do in your own homes. I don't know. But, you know, those kind of things. Hey, man, they're just having a... Man, he is in a rage. You can't stop this guy. I mean, he's running through walls. He's punching walls. He's doing all kinds of things. This guy's crazy. He's so upset. He's so angry. In a fury, the Bible says, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Hey, listen here. You three little pipsqueaks, I'm in charge. This is my kingdom. And if you don't do what I say, you're going into the midst of a fiery furnace. And I don't believe there is a God that can deliver you from that fiery furnace. The power says, bow down to my gods. Bow down when I say bow down. This is a forced bow. This is a forced reverence to this golden image. You know what we're to do? We're to do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. To have faith no matter what the people say. No matter what the power says. We're to have faith in God and say, no, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to go against Him. I'm not going to go against His word. I'm not going to do something that would cause me to sin before an almighty God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to eat meat that was, and they did this. Daniel did this at the beginning. We will not defile ourselves. I will not defile myself. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not defile themselves with the king's meat. We're going to make a determination that no matter what people say and no matter what the power says, we are going to have faith and trust God. Boy, it's easy to preach, but it's another thing to live, isn't it? No matter what the people say. No matter what your friends and your loved ones, and some of the harshest critics usually are the ones that you love the most. They're your brothers and your sisters, and they're your aunts and your uncles, and they're your cousins, and they're your co-workers, and even sometimes your brothers and sisters in Christ are the very ones who will be against you, who will fight you tooth and nail. And what are we to do no matter what the people say and no matter what the power says? We're to believe God and follow God by faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know, do that because we know the end result of the story. But I want you to notice verse 16. I want you to notice verse 16, and I want you to notice number 3. We're to have faith in God no matter what problems arise. We're to have faith in God no matter what problems arise. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I don't know about you, but I haven't sensed an ounce of doubt yet in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I see three young men who are believing. Remember last week we looked at Thomas? And be not doubtless, but be faith, have faith, be filled with God, with faith. Trust God. Don't fear, have faith. I see three men who say no matter what problem arises in their life, they're going to have faith in God. We're about to face, because of what we're about to say to the powers and the people, we are about to face a burning fiery furnace. I can't think of much of a worse way to die than to burn to death. Those are probably, if there's two things that I fear, probably even more than a snake, being bit by a snake, would be drowning and burning to death. I can't imagine either one of those would be any fun. We are faced with a problem. The problem is because we won't obey the powers that be, and we won't obey what people say. We're going to obey what God says, but it creates a problem. The problem is for us, it puts us out on a limb, and it puts us in, possibly in, a burning fiery furnace. Sounds like a problem to me. Sounds like an awful hot problem to me. Talk about being in the hot water. How about hot flames? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they didn't follow people and they didn't follow the powers that be, they were about to face what people will face for eternity in hell. Flames, fire, burning, anguish. The only fire they would ever experience in life would be this fiery death, if that's where it took them. The only death experience about fire, they weren't going to spend eternity in hell because they had faith in God, looking to the author and finisher of their faith. They knew that God could and would deliver him if he so desired or so chose to. In fact, that's exactly what they say. If it be so, in verse 17, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He's able to do it. We know he's able to do it. We've seen, we've heard. I mean, we studied Moses in the Red Sea, and we studied all a bunch of miracles of faith that happened through the Word of God and through their ancestors. Hey, my great-grandpa told me stories about what God can do, and I believe them. If God wants to save us out of a burning fiery furnace, no matter what the problem is, God can save us out of a burning fiery furnace. We just had a Christmas play. You know, somehow this bus runs over a cliff and everybody is out of the bus, but they're alive. Well, that's not possible, Pastor. It was just a play. Anything's possible with God. We've seen some crazy things happen. People ended up outside, thrown out of vehicles and not a scratch on them. How does that happen? You don't think God's watching over us? You don't think God cares? You don't think God is a good wide receiver? Think he could catch you? He don't even need gloves. These wide receivers today, they're pretty good, but they catch everything with one hand because they got sticky gloves on. They got these big sticky gloves, and man, it don't matter. It don't matter. Have you seen the commercial where the guy's trying to get his mail, and he has his gloves on? He's got sticky fingers. I don't know if he had his gloves on or not, but anyways, he said he's got sticky fingers, and he can't get his mail out of his hand because he's wearing these gloves. I'm telling you, God can catch any one of us, no matter what our situation, no matter what our problem is. You say, I just made the biggest mistake of my life. Well, trust God, and he'll get you through it. You might be surprised what God can do and what God will do. The children of Israel say, he's able. We know he's able, and we believe he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And I love verse 18. This is where I know how I know they're filled with faith. Because they even say this, but if not, if God decides not to deliver us, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. That's where our faith is. Our faith doesn't waver. Our faith doesn't waver as the wind blows. I remember when I was riding bike a lot, I used to get real excited. I'm going to go out for a bike ride this morning or a bike ride this afternoon. And I'd say, well, I think I'll look at the weather forecast. And I look at the weather forecast and I find out, one, it's supposed to rain. I don't want to get wet. I think I'll wait till tomorrow to ride my bike. See what happened? The rain changed my decision. Then I would do this. And that wasn't because I was looking for a way out. I wanted to ride my bike. I just didn't want to get wet. I didn't want to ride it bad enough to get wet. Then I do this. I get on my phone and I look at my app and I say, well, what's the wind like? As if you've ever ridden a bike and there's high winds, you won't ever want to ride a bike again. Especially not if there's nothing blocking that wind. You start getting up to 12, 13, 14, 15 mile an hour winds and you're riding a bike against that wind. Oh, it's great when you're riding with the wind. But when you're riding against that wind, your quads feel like they're in a burning fiery furnace. If you know anything about exercising, you know what I'm talking about. Ah, are you kidding me? And it's blowing you all over the place. And so I'd say, I think I'll wait. Maybe the wind will die down after lunch. And if it's down to 4, 5, 6, 8 mile an hour, man, I'll probably go then. See how the circumstances are changing my thinking? I understand that's a worldly thing, but guess what happens? Christians do the same thing spiritually. If it works out for me, I will follow God, and I'll do what he wants. But if I have to get wet, and if the wind's going to blow me, and if I'm going to be facing a burning fiery furnace, then I'll change my opinion. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? Man, if my friends want me to do it a different way, then maybe just once, I can go against God, and I'll bow just so I can stay away from that fiery furnace. But the children of Israel say, the three young Hebrew boys say, King, God can save us. And we believe he can save us. We know he can save us. But if he chooses not to, we're still not bowing down to your God. It doesn't matter how hot you make that furnace. It doesn't matter what you do to the furnace. It doesn't even matter if in just a few moments you have people throw us into the furnace and they die because it's so hot from the outside. You throw us on the inside, we're still not following you. I will not accept other beliefs. I will not accept other opinions. I will not bow down and worship other gods. We're to have faith no matter what problems arise. It says, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So I want you to notice the problems. We are to have faith no matter what problems arise. Number four is we must have faith in God no matter what plight is taken. You say, what in the world does that mean? Whatever path we go on, we could say path. Whatever path we end up on, we are to trust God. So if we end up in the fiery furnace, we're going to trust God. If we end up in a windy place, we're going to trust God. If we end up in a rainy place, spiritually speaking, we're going to trust God. If we wind up in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I got my teddy bear. Got my little snookums with me. He's so cute. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We're to have faith no matter what the plight is, no matter what plight we're on, no matter what path we're on, no matter where the pathway leads. We're to follow the Lord. Guess where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith take them? You already know. A burning, fiery furnace. What did the power tell them? You don't bow? Burning, fiery furnace. Guess where they end up? A burning, fiery furnace. We're to have faith no matter where the pathway leads, no matter what the plight is taken. Notice verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heat. I can imagine if they had gauges, you know. I can imagine those gauges going, you know, and steaming. You see them on TV, you know, all the time. It's about to blow! Get on the chopper, right? Is that right, Devin? It's about to blow. He was so angry, he said, I don't care what happens to that furnace, make it 7 times hotter than what it's supposed to be and what it normally is and what it would take to destroy you like that. He was that angry. And he commanded in verse 20, the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. No matter what the pathway leads. Imagine those people in the Colosseums. Those martyrs in the Colosseums that were literally used as spectacles. They were used for entertainment. Today we watch some gruesome things. You shouldn't. I try not to watch a lot of that kind of stuff. But we watch some gruesome things on TV that we understand and realize they're not real. Audie's running around the house all the time. Dad, I was dead and then I got back up. I'm like, oh boy. Hope he doesn't take that too far. Because really when you get dead for real, you're dead. You don't get back up. It's hard for kids to understand that because they see it so much on TV. But this wasn't TV just for entertainment. This was entertainment to actually watch people martyred for the cause of Christ. Ripped apart by lions. Ate alive. Quartered. Literally, they would take ropes and tie people on these ropes and put with 4 horses. And they would take them and spread them out, stretch them as far as they could. And eventually it would just rip them limb from limb. This is entertainment for the cause of Christ. Ooh, this is fun. They'd take them, they'd drag them. They'd do all kinds of things. They'd burn them at the stake. They would literally take wood and make the stake and all the wood around there out of green wood. It would smoke a little bit more, but it would actually burn longer because it takes longer to burn. And then it burns eventually hotter. And they would be literally burning alive at the stake for the cause of Christ. No matter what the pathway leads, no matter what plight is taken, no matter how God, what God wants, we're to have faith. You say, Pastor, that's not real. That's not it. That doesn't happen in our day. You realize how quickly that could all turn? And there are countries that that is still happening in. Not so much in America. But it's coming again, I promise you that. That could be you and I. Pastor, you seriously want me to have that much faith? God wants me to have that much faith that no matter where I end up, I'm supposed to trust Him? That doesn't come from the pastor. That's from the Word of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says they were getting ready to be thrown in verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. No matter what the plight is taken, we're to have faith in God no matter what. Verse 23, I want you to notice verse 22, I guess. Verse 22 says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, how many of you remember what kind of men those were? Those were mighty men. If you look back up to verse 20, it says he commanded the most mighty men. Even mighty men couldn't tackle the outside of this furnace. In fact, to be quite honest with you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego couldn't tackle the inside or the outside of that furnace. Not in of themselves. But their faith did something special for them. Their faith showed up in the form of the Son of God. And nothing can touch the Son of God without God allowing. He would have never ended up on the cross of Calvary. He could have called 10,000 angels, but you know what? He could have called one angel, and it would have stopped it all. In fact, he didn't even need to call an angel. He could have said, stop. And they would have stood still like stones or rocks. Not without God knowing about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the plight that they take and the place that they end up is in the burning fiery furnace. Verse 23 says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You say, well, why in the world did they fall down? Well, we could probably make up a lot of things, but I can only imagine it was so hot that those guys didn't say, okay, now you step that foot into the furnace and then put the other foot in and it'll be in the furnace. Whoop! You ever felt like that in life? Somebody was just taking you and tossing you around? Good night, how'd I end up here? This hurts. They fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. By all rights and by all probability, and that's the last point, we're to have faith in God no matter what the probability is. The probability is they should have been incinerated in an instant in the heat of that fire. That's the probability. You say, Pastor, if I trust God in this situation, I'm going to lose my job. That's the probability. But what might happen and what could happen and what, Lord willing, will happen is maybe by your faith and by you taking a stand, your employer might get saved. And it might change his life. Well, it will change his life if he gets saved. But his life could be changed as a result of him seeing what you say, I don't believe that can happen. Read the rest of the story. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have bowed down, guess what? Nothing would have changed. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have went in the fiery furnace and they would have been destroyed, nothing would have changed. But notice what happens. No matter what the probability is, they should have been destroyed. But as they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, bound, and they fell down, verse 24 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. And that means astonished, was amazed, was blown away, was just completely couldn't believe what he saw. What is it? What he saw with his own eyes. And he rose up in his haste, and he spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Wait a minute. Guess what? It burned off the the binding that they had. It says these four men loose. It destroyed that. Walking in the midst of the fire. How many? Can you see them just walking there? Walk like an Egyptian. Talk like, no. Wait, what in the world? They're in there walking around. I don't know about you, but if it was me, I'd have got out of there just in case for some minute God would have said, no, you're done. And I would have said, I'm out of here. No, they were walking in the furnace, the Bible says. Notice it says, and he said, there were four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I can imagine, the king saying, hey, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why don't you go up and test that fire to make sure it's really hot? Oh, me? Me? Seriously? You want me to go up there? Shaking in their boots, because they're already seeing this amazing thing that just they can't imagine. There's four in the fire. I don't care how you do the math. There was only three thrown in. The other ones died on the outside, not on the inside. Last time I checked, when they were thrown in, they were down. They fell down. If you fell down in that heat, that hot fire, you would never stand back up again. Not only are they standing back up, but they're loose. Their clothes have not been burnt, have not been singed. They're walking around in the fire. And mysteriously, there's four in there now. How do you do the math on that? Three out of three is still three. It's not four. What is it? Five out of four Americans have problems with fractions? You'll get that later. I don't get it. Three? Now there's four. But the fourth one, the fourth man, is like the Son of God. I just built a golden image for people to worship. This guy doesn't even believe in the Son of God. Are you following me? But he looks in the fiery furnace. He threw in three. Now there's four. And all of a sudden, he actually believes that there is a Son of God. Kind of reminds me of atheists and agnostics. We believe there is no God. We reject God. We build golden images a mile high and make people worship them. This one looks like the Son of God. Where'd this all come from? How do you go from worshiping golden images and forcing everybody else to worship golden images to seeing a guy in a fiery furnace and you think he's the Son of God? Think it might have had something to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith? Think something clicked? You think a light bulb might have went off? I think so. I think within every person, every human being, they understand and realize there's a God. That doesn't mean they want to admit it. But until they see it with their own two eyes, they won't admit it. Guess what Nebuchadnezzar saw with his own two eyes? This is a miracle. A miracle like we've never seen before. We threw in three. The probability is three should be destroyed, but there's four in there. And they're walking around. Almost seems like they're having a good time in that fire. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Ding, 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 ding. He gets it. Now I know why they didn't bow. Now I know why they didn't believe what the people said and do what the people said. And they didn't fear what the people were going to do. Now I know why they didn't bow down to me. Say, so how do you know that? Read the rest of the story. A light bulb goes off in his life and he says, this is the God. Not the one I've been trying to get people to bow down to. This guy's the real deal. Because I've never seen anything like that before. Notice I want you to see the probability. The probability was not good for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But somehow, not only did they come out smelling like roses, and they didn't even smell like smoke. And amazing, you know, you go somewhere and there's smoke around and you walk away. You go away from a bonfire and you smell like smoke for the next 12 days. It's like, all I can breathe is smoke for some reason. I smell smoke. That's all I smell. And man, you try to shower and you wash those clothes and man, it still smells like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. They smelled like roses. I don't know if they smell like roses, but I made that up. Sounded good though, didn't it? They didn't smell like smoke. They walked out and they were walking around in there having a good time. The probability just doesn't make sense. When we have faith in God, sometimes the probability doesn't make sense and the world doesn't understand, but we're still commanded to have faith in God no matter what the probability is. Well, if I do this for God, it probably isn't going to work out well for me. You know, the last $100 bill I have, and it's the last one I've had for the last 6 months, the only one I've had for 6 months, God wants me to put it in the offering plate. The probability is not good for that to return to me. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not putting it in the offering plate. Because the probability is not good. And God says, put it in the offering plate. But God, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I finally have $100 and this is going to go a long way for me and my family. And put it in the offering plate. And you put it in the offering plate and God gives you $200. And you say, the probability wasn't good. I was going to get that back. But with God on my side, nothing shall be impossible. You see, the probability isn't good in the world's eyes. But when God's on your side, if you're one going against 10, you're two going against 10. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're two going against 10. And the one guy you have on your side, 10 guys don't hold a candle to him. 10 million guys don't hold a candle to him. And we say the probability's not good. 2 versus 10, that's not good. You're right. It ain't good for the bad guys. It's good for the good guys, though. The odds are real good when God's on your side and you have enough faith to believe. If God's going to throw us in there in that fiery furnace, if the king's going to throw us in that fiery furnace, God can deliver. If he decides to, if he decides not to, we still aren't bowing down and we're still going to have faith in God no matter what. You say, what? What's the big deal? This is the big deal. Let's finish this with faith pays off. I want you to see this, verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. You know what he's saying? My gods are nothing. This is the Most High God. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. They see their faith. They see God deliver them, upon whose bodies the fire hath no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, and they came out smelling like roses. No, wait, that's not in there. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. That is in there, though. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be that big golden image that I built. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Faith pays off, people. It pays off. It pays off in this story, and it will pay off in your life if you have faith in God no matter what. Notice verse 29 and 30. Therefore, I make a decree. Can you imagine this? He just spent a fortune building this image for people to worship. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Fooey on the fire. It didn't work last time. I'm going to cut them in pieces this time. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And you don't think you can get a promotion when you stand up for what's right.